Hello and welcome to Awareness of the Soul with your host Vincent Sandi. Good morning for people in the US and good night for people in Bangkok, while good evening for people in Europe. 5 o'clock in London, 6 o'clock in Italy, my native country. And I like the idea that people around the globe can be united through a radio station with the only purpose of exploring their consciousness. And let me tell you something in advance. Next year, here there's a new initiative, this radio and BBS Radio, and they're having a BBS Radio educational service, basically, where people and hosts from this radio are going to give lessons and classes. I'm going to be one of them, and you can join us for classes, and that's an amazing thing. But let's go for today, and today's topic is meditation, the golden jewel, which is also the title of my little book on meditation, which is also an intensive course on the first steps of Kriya Yoga meditation. But let me give you the numbers if you want to reach me live on radio today, which is 8, and the numbers are for USA, toll free, 877-876-5227. Let me repeat it, 877-876-5227. For U.S. and Canada, 888-815-9756, always toll free. Or from anywhere in the world, you can call on the direct line, which is 530-876-3222. And you, of course, you have to dial the international code, which is 001. I want to thank all the people who sent me emails, because your support is great. And I am really moved by all the emails I received, and thank you for that. And before we move on, let me remind you that you can go to my website, www.joycelestial.com, and sign up for my newsletter, and have free access to some chapters of my meditation book, The Golden Jewel, which you can also download for a very small amount. But I consider this book very little in its dimension, the real good start to Kriya Yoga in the line of Paramahansa Yogananda. And of course, I don't want to say that I'm better than the others. No. But I think this is a great little book to start with. And it's a very deep book. There are lots of techniques, lots of metaphysical principles, and it will keep you busy for some time. But at this point, let me tell you one thing right away. In this radio show, it is not my intention to teach you how to follow a path. Well, I know that many of you have your own path, and I think it should be respected. And I bow to all people who are following their path seriously, and they're connecting with their own selves for real. But why not try a method, a technique, that will make you become even more in tune with where you're going? In fact, the nature of meditation itself is to make you become more of who you are, and not who other people think that you should be. And this is really important, because sometimes we find ourselves caught up in a situation where there is a rule, and we say, spirit has to be like this. But I think the more you get into yourself, you understand all life is holy, somehow. But until you have that discernment, of course, it's very good to follow a path, definite path, which is based on goodness. Yes, there will definitely be a transformation happening through the techniques that we're sharing here, yoga applied into modern life, let's say. But it is a transformation that of who you are supposed to be. It will make you more of who you are supposed to be, a natural unfolding. It is not a mechanism, an artificial mechanism, a structure that you put over yourself, you know, a thick layer of how you should appear to people. And this is why I love meditation practices. Maybe you might not notice it at the beginning stages, but all of a sudden you realize that your consciousness has changed. But what is the nature of this change? Simply becoming more aware. And for awareness, here I mean a conscious contact with your true essence, which is just beyond the cycles of your thoughts and patterns of life. And that immutable power, which is accessible to anyone who wants to access it. Why is it available? Because it cannot be difficult to be who you really are. You are already you. I mean, you don't have to become anyone else. It is there. It is present all the time. The natural you is forever present and totally aware. And when I was young, I could perceive as an essence. I say that, perceive myself as an essence. And I said that on the first radio show, on the first episode. And I could perceive this silent observer of the reality around me, within me. And I could not see how this presence within me that I refer to as my true I could possibly fit with all that I saw happening in my life. Also, when I asked myself, I could not even see how it could fit with something that still had to happen. That essence just was totally untouched in all circumstances, no matter what. And here's the point. And you could start with it right away. Can you perceive that part of you that knows, that is listening to the show, knows that you're listening to the show? Can you perceive the part of you that knows that you're talking to someone, that knows that you're going to that shop, that knows that you're going to work? It is not what you're doing or what you're thinking. It is just the awareness of your presence. Can you perceive that? I think that almost everyone can perceive it. That is the eternal observer, the eternal observer. And who is this eternal observer? Well, let me tell you right away. I feel the world trembling now because I'm going to say something that might be revealing because it seems so simple, but that is the God within you. And if you could totally live from that level consciously more and more, and from that level only, your consciousness would expand beyond all possibilities, and you would start living your full divine nature full time. Is it really so accessible? Is it really so simple? Yes, it is. It is this simple awareness that guides you and protects you. And it is this conscious awareness that is your real life insurance. The problem is that most of the time it passes unnoticed because the conscious awareness of you has anyway many layers. But all that these layers represent are only the degree through which you live from that level, live from the level 24/7. If you're consciously aware while still engaged in many thoughts and cycles, then your conscious awareness is not yet developed, we can say. And please understand that this is really difficult to describe because we are describing the indescribable. But if you live from that conscious awareness all the time, then all other perceptions in life will seem to come from that conscious awareness, always present and forever powerful. And by perception, I mean anything. They can be emotions, what you see around you, an object, a thought, all perceptions of conscious awareness. It is this conscious awareness that projects itself into this manifested universe and into this world, experiencing itself all the time. That's all. Only conscious awareness experiencing itself in many different ways. Even when you think, this is me, it is the conscious awareness that is actually experiencing itself through that process. That's all. And this conscious awareness is the immanent power of our creation. It is the universal intelligence, God, out of which all things are created equally, no matter what they are, either good or bad. If you start analyzing something good or something bad, whatever it is that is your perception of good or bad, obviously, then you will see that it's composed of many little things. And those things in themselves, they don't have an independent nature out of awareness. They are just connected because there is another part of awareness that connects them. But even that connection is a thing of itself, but not independent from conscious awareness. And this seems like a philosophy, but when you can actually experience these things, the more you live by the conscious awareness, they appear differently, but we can say it is the law of appearance that makes them seem so. What the Hindu call Maya, illusion. And quantum physics has provided amazing observation on how at the center of anything that you see, there is empty space. The more you go deep into a cell, the more you find there is no real center. Ultimately, scientists have found that that empty space must be a conscious force. Well, this is what Buddhists, for example, have been saying for a long time. Isn't it amazing? And the unity of life in all its manifestation becomes evident here. This conscious force is both personal and impersonal. As some people say that it is one thing and not another. It is either personal or not impersonal. Religions say, no, it's a personal God, it's a person. Some others say, no, it's impersonal. But it is both. Because if it is not personal, then how comes the human beings have been created? We are personal, aren't we? We relate to each other. And if it is only personal, how comes that some people can perceive God as formless or not fitting into a personal box? In other words, if it is personal, it must have a character. And if it has a character, what about all the other manifestations of the universe that do not portray that character, you see? Do they exist out of God? No, since nothing can exist out of God. So God is both personal and impersonal. Let's talk a little more on how this conscious force can be experienced anyway in our lives. First of all, what is meditation? Meditation is not thinking about something, not even contemplating or directing yourself into a specific reality through a specific pathway of the mind you choose before the practice. Meditation is a natural state of absorption in God or in one of his aspects. And these aspects are the operating basic forces that this universal intelligence uses to manifest creation. You see, God has 8 basic aspects. These aspects are anywhere in this world, and they can be identified. Obviously, by identifying them, one can start learning to see God, or the creative source, everywhere. And they are at the base of anything that we see. Let me remind you the numbers again, in case you want to call, you want to have a live session with me. And USA, toll-free, 877-876-5227. USA and Canada, 888-815-9756. Or direct line, anywhere in the world, you can call this number, 001, which is the international code for US, then 530-876-3222. Okay? So here we go. We talk about the aspects of God. This is really important because we want to meditate. I'm going to give you the first technique of the Kriya Yoga Path, the Hong Sa technique, which is an amazing technique. You're going to understand that by doing this technique 2 hours a day, you can become master in this life. Isn't this amazing? Such a simple technique. But in order to know what we're going through, no? We do meditation, that's fine, but we also want to know what's happening when we are there. When we have an experience, then after that we need to understand what's happening. And we might experience the essence of these 8 aspects that I've been talking about. And the aspects, are 8, and I'm going to list them now. If you want, you can write them down. And if you send me an email after this show, I will be happy also to send you a chapter of my book, The Golden Jewel, which is not available on the website for free, but I'm going to send it to all people who send me an email asking me about these aspects, and I describe them there at a certain level. So please just write me, and I will send you this chapter. But you can also re-listen to this episode, which is I'm going to cover many different ways through which we can see these aspects applied in our daily life. And these aspects are peace, calmness, sound, light, joy, power, love, and wisdom. These aspects need to be experienced and discovered in your own experience, your own life, and your everyday life. The more you experience them, the more you will know and be able to identify their presence. Their expressions can have infinite nuances, infinite ways to express them, because They are the base of all the thing, all everything that is created. Here I will share with you some of my understanding. So let's start right now with the aspect of peace. These are actually experiences that you can have in meditation. So peace is the absence of conflict. Everything is at balance in peace. When we rest in our conscious awareness, we are open to listening and feel in the moment. It is primary, the aspect of peace that we experience. It is like an eternal moment going on. And when we decide not to worry just for a moment and relax every day, in every moment in life, when we start seeing what we have and relax in that, when we just accept and know that everything is fine, that is peace. Peace is operating there, behind. Then, there we can identify the force of peace operating in our life. This force of always present is always present every time we stop for a tiny moment. It is the aspect of peace that allows us to do that, to stop. It is also a bridge from a thought to another. You see, when we stop the previous thought in order to enter a new one, there is a moment there where there is the absence of all conflict. And that is the force of peace. Without that, this transition would not be possible. Even transitional periods in our lives need the aspect of peace to happen. You see, when we go from a moment to another moment in our life, when we change life, also when we go through a period to another period, the force of peace is what allows that moment of transition. And before you see, peace is at the base of our transitional life periods. But most of the time we leave that period of transition with anxiety, which simply means we have an obstruction in perceiving the aspect of peace that allows this transition to happen. There is peace there. Still we're anxious. We have an obstruction in living our conscious awareness through peace. This present, and this represents a layer. This is a layer, an obstruction between us and our divine essence. Okay, but we have to know, we have to understand that the force, universe, is operating in life cycles. And when we get to the apex of something and we start going in the other direction, in that moment, tiny moment, there is peace, there is absence of conflicts. And that's where we can see what is happening. And we can do that consciously, we can stop consciously, because we have intelligence. We are intelligent human beings. We can choose what to do, okay? If we stop, we decide to stop for a moment, we can experience the eternal peace of our divine essence. And let's move on because it's quite a long journey that I'm taking you through now. But I really invite you to experience this peace, both and all these aspects, both in meditation and start seeing it in your life. Then we have calmness. Calmness is different than peace, even though it seems similar, because it has some dynamic movement in it. Everything that happens, everything happens with calmness. It's like, let's say, a collar that all of the aspects wear this collar. All that happens, there is calmness inside. And calmness allows a movement. And obviously, it is a movement that can be found in consciousness. Calmness is usually easy to identify as a how. How is this happening? You do something while being calm. But in truth, it's an aspect in and of itself that permeates things in creation. It is the permeating quality of the universe, like a common ground, we can say. And if you go deep enough, everything you see, you can see that there is calmness operating there. Things start moving in a certain way. It is the ground upon which things move. Then we have the aspect of sound. Sound is the third aspect, and it's obvious, and it's one of the most obvious aspects all around us, because sound is the vibration that permeates all creation. It is not just the sound of your voice, for example, or a musical instrument or a noise. It is omnipervading. Sound has the power to influence this physical reality and trace you back multidimensionally to the source. And that's why in India, one of the most used tools in contacting the divine is through sound, chanting, vibration, the chanting of the mantras. If one could listen deeply to the resonances of a sound, any sound in creation, it would be traced back to the infinite power behind it. In fact, just listening to the sounds around you can easily heighten your spiritual sensitivity and bring you into a meditative mood where you feel your call to connect with the source. I remember once I was coming home with the car, and I knew that I was going to meditate because it was my time to meditate. I was happy to go home, but my mind was still very busy, and I said, oh, I want to get in the mood because I want to have a nice meditation. And I just kept everything silent. I turned off the radio, and I started listening to the sounds around me. And after a while, I just got in tune with that meditative mood. Yeah? And it is amazing how the purpose inherent in the aspect of sound, is that of bringing you in touch with silence. Isn't it just seems like a contradiction, but they're actually connected. And this is because the nature of the sound seems changing as you go deeper into it, until its qualities seem to split infinitely into an overall silence. Obviously, sound is easy to identify since we have so many manifestations of it in our world. They're obvious. They're just right there up on our face, starting from the noises we hear every day. Sound obviously relates in its negative manifestation or polarity, which is neither good or bad, just a polarity. When we accidentally hurt something or someone while walking in the street, there is a vibration going on there. Here it is easy to see how vibrational nature can influence reality consistently. And many people who go deep in meditation start feeling waves going on within them. Those are vibrations. They are really, and if they could hear the sound of those waves, they will hear sounds of spirit, and maybe even the sound of the eternal, the Om. So you see, multidimensional access to the primary source of power is easy through the aspect of sound. Because we live in a vibratory universe. And if we would just listen without making a story about the sounds we hear, where they come from, what produces them, and where they go, then we can be thrown into a total experience of conscious awareness. This is fascinating. So start next time when you go out and walk in the streets, just listen to the sounds. Don't make a story out of them. Don't think, these sounds come from there. Don't think is this car coming from behind and going up there at the end of the street. Don't think about where the sound is coming from. Just think of nothing. Be aware of the sounds around you. And you will be thrown in that moment of conscious awareness that is silence, where you can't perceive your true essence from there. And let's move on to the next one. The next one is light. This is a beautiful aspect. Light is a dynamic force, which is at the base of creation. All that is created and alive has a process in it that produces light. Light is a manifestation of intelligence, and it has the power to generate something new. It is a starting process and the key for growth. You know, it has the kind of power that pushes you up. It creates something new. We can see the mystical light of creation when our minds are clear enough. Light is something we can also manipulate and use easily. It is one of these aspects that are here to be used by man. And this is where the whole concept of visualization is coming from. Because what is a visualization? It's pranic force, vital force. It creates an image made of light. And through visualization, we're actually reprogramming our immune system on also, our emotional system, and our thinking system. Through the use of light, we have the power to generate something new. We use the term light in many idioms also. For example, we can bring light into a situation by directing our focus, like a laser beam. And the more we meditate, the more we can clear our minds and see the light. Light is the solution towards many problems, and it is the key to elevate your vibrational frequency. The more divine light you have, the more you vibrate at a high level. And you have to know that all these aspects, they're not living in and on. And of course, they are independent, but they are interconnected. They are connected with each other. And the obvious connection here is between light and sound. Also, for example, all colors have their own vibrational frequencies. And let's have a look at the internet, for example. And here, obviously, we have the limitation of intellectual knowledge and the human ears, when on the example that I'm going to give you now. For example, when I had the dial-up connection to connect to the internet, I could hear through the phone all those strange sounds. You know, you hear them. They're really strange and very high pitch. But on my computer, I could see images. And still, my computer only uses a binary language, which is the force of duality in the world. You know, light and darkness, plus and minus. And this language that uses only two numbers creates an infinite variety of colors and images. Isn't this a metaphor? An amazing one. If you go out at night and you fix a light and then close your eyes, or even during the day, any light, then start visualizing that light in your mind's eye, in your head, and that will bring you in tune with the light of God gradually. Go deeper into that. Get acquainted with the light. Because this will make you aware of the light connection, you know, that there is in creation. And let's move on to the other aspect, the aspect of joy. One of my favorites. Joy manifests in our life in many different ways. When it is truly experienced, at its essence, is an experience beyond duality. And it doesn't have the repercussion of sadness, because it does not belong still to the cycles of life. It is not something that depends on something else to live. It is there, emanating from the source. This joy is pure, and we can say it's the dance of life itself. It takes our breath away. You see, it brings us to a state of breathlessness. When we meditate to go beyond the limitation of a mortal body, the presence of joy is there. Ananda, as they call it in India, is what makes this possible. But we can see joy manifested in many other circumstances. It is the force of joy, for example, that gives us the ability to be amazed or surprised. It is that force behind that gives us the ability to see things and say, wow, no matter if in a good or a bad way, still, because good or bad depends on our perception of reality, you see, there still is that force of joy that makes this possible. No matter if in a good or a bad way, it is the force of pure joy that is operating at that moment. It is at the core of a motivational experience, and puts also the aspects of light and power into motion. This joy is ever new. It never diminishes. It never fades. And encourages light to generate something else. It is rejuvenating. It is regenerating. It is the true happiness we're all looking for. When you are in tune with pure joy, you feel like you have all the energy you need to accomplish anything you need to accomplish. You are willing to take the next step forward, you see. No matter how much work is required, you have an inexhaustible amount of energy. In this case, joy triggers the aspects of wisdom and power so that everything gets done quickly. in an effortless way and very efficiently. Joy is directly related to enthusiasm, marvel, and other qualities of the kind. Joy is what brings your energy up into the spine during meditation and merges with the light to raise your vibration. You see, these mystical forces are always present, always operating behind anything we see, anything we do, anything that happens. Then our perception of these pure qualities, or our perception of our conscious awareness, our level of perception to this conscious awareness, makes us label these experiences we're going through. And then we decide if it's good or bad, according to our own perception. And we have to understand that the functions of all these aspects goes much beyond our more normal understanding in daily life. They have hidden functions that can be identified. In other words, they are the real forces of nature at play in creation, at their primordial stages, just next to God, but reflected in the universe. So if you start observing life and related to these eight aspects, you will start seeing God everywhere. Let's move on to the next. The next aspect is power. Power is an amazing dynamic force. Okay? Imagine the power of the universe to sustain its great creation. It is an impressive amount of power. In humans, this power can be experienced through the will. And when your will is in touch with the divine power of the universe, then it's divine will. Many people question themselves because whether they're doing is in God's will or is in their will. And the answer to this question is simple and surprising at the same time. It doesn't matter what you do. If you're in tune with the universal divine power, your will does not exist anymore. It is only God's will. And another question is, does God want me to do this or that in my current life, in my experience? And the answer here is simple, too. Dharma. That's the answer. What is your duty? For example, the sun doesn't ask itself a question whether it is going to do its duty or not. It is just doing it naturally. Because its essence is in tune with what its dharma is. It just comes up and everything starts to have light. Everything wake up. People wake up, go to work. The plants receive vital force, etc., etc. But the sun doesn't think about his dharma. He's just living it. Dharma comes out automatically. This is what I mean. When one forgets about the structures and patterns he has programmed in his life, and gets in tune with his divine essence, it comes out naturally. Dharma, your duty in life, your purpose, is automatic. But until that connection is not consciously established, you cannot consciously fully answer that question. You cannot say, does God want me to do that? You will know once you're in tune with that power. When your willpower is in tune with the divine power, then your willpower will not exist anymore. Will be you living your dharma 24/7 for all your life. Yes, of course, there are things that are second nature to you, and you will be better doing them. Some people are born with certain talents, or some talents are quite easily accessible for some people. And follow that path. Try to merge what you're doing with those natural talents, because you can be saved from preoccupation of doing things right. So you can dedicate time for pure universal divine connection. This is the concept at the base of the castes in India. Basically, they say, you're born from a father who has a certain job. He will teach you this job very easily. So do it, because you will do it without thinking about it. And then you can go home and just think about God. But in the world we're living today, we are exploring new ways because we're expanding our consciousness. But we have to relate to our own inner resources. We have to understand we have our own abilities, our own talents, and we have to use them so that we can have time to go back home knowing that what we did was right, and then our minds are free enough to sit there and say, okay, now I'm going to connect with my divine essence so that I can live it more and more until I live it all the time. When one's will is in tune with the dynamic aspect of power, thoughts are really powerful. And this is a warning, because they have the power to create or destroy. If you would ever get in touch with such a power, my suggestion is to start praying for the highest good of the world right away. In fact, whatever happens at that level is highly enhanced and can come back to you enormously, 10 times back, even more, depending on how much you connect with that power. To experience power in everyday life, it means to notice the inner and hidden mechanism in all that surrounds you. Get in tune with the force behind it. What is the force of the universe behind engines, for example? It is the principle of power behind these machines that allows them to work. But people too, you know, in order to do anything, we need a certain amount of willpower. Even when it comes to lift a hand, we need to use our willpower. That is the aspect of power that allows us to do that. If we could only see what's working behind the scenes, we would get back to God. And most of the time, we use this power by default. But it can be enhanced by being aware of it more and more. And the aim of noticing these aspects, all of them, at play in your life, anywhere, no matter what, is to put us in tune with the universal forces, with God, and in turn, the cosmic intelligence, expressing itself in creation, to let forces of nature express through ourselves and become agents of a higher cosmic intelligence. And this will happen naturally as we become aware of these aspects all the time. And we will notice, here I can see the aspect of power working. Here I can see the aspect of peace going on. Here I can see the aspect of love going on, the aspect of light going on, etc. And here we go to the next one. The next one is a beautiful one. Obviously, we're all looking for that. Love. And love, as I said in one of my past episodes, is the binding and uniting force of all creation. It's that thing that puts two things together and attracts them. Whenever there is communication and union of thoughts, then there is love working there. Isn't it amazing? Love is not what we just think about in human terms. It is much more. Cut out the cluster. No matter if some people might bother you in certain moments, still, the aspect behind you put together, behind both of you put together, is the binding force of love. And this is why all the issues in any relationship can be sorted out with love itself, because it is at the base of anything that puts two things together, that unites, that binds. It is a magnetic force. Also, love is that force that brings you into the center of something. We always say that we can get to the heart of something. It will bring you to the center of something, therefore, to its full understanding. In this case, you can get knowledge of anything when in tune with the aspect of love. Have you noticed how easy it is to know everything about something that you consider interesting when you love the subject you are studying or observing or listening to? If you love it, you will learn something very quickly because you penetrate deep into its center. And from the center, you can move in all directions easily, and you will find a point of reference. Through the operating aspect of love, as I said, we get to the heart of something. And when one gets to the heart of something, one owns it. Therefore, love is what attracts things into our life. Isn't it a beautiful way to see love operating? And if we put in tune the aspects of power and love together, if we can get in tune with those without obstruction or just with very little obstructions, then we create a dynamic whirlpool that attracts to us whatever it is the object of our love in its essence. Don't get attached to the form. Get in tune with the essence. Don't say, I want this, I want that. For me, it's not right, because you're forcing the universe to give you something that could be your limited vision. Just get to the essence with something like that. And if you love it, if you can get penetrate to the heart of it, then the dynamic power put together with love will give you that. Since the manifested universe operates through certain laws in order to keep the universe itself in order, these aspects are at the base of all universal laws and principles. There is also consciousness behind them. We can call upon these aspects, and they can respond dynamically, because, as I said, these forces are both personal and impersonal. You can either relate to them as a scientist that in an impersonal way, or in a very personal way. That depends on your temperament, on your character. And then we go to the aspect of wisdom. And wisdom is the ability to see things clearly as they are, without filters of the intellect. Wisdom is a quality developed through intuition, which is the direct perception of knowledge. A direct perception of knowledge may be triggered by some intellectual understanding, and that's fine. But this intellectual understanding needs to be totally abandoned once intuition comes up. Intellectual speculation upon anything does not bring wisdom, but obstruction to true wisdom. Because the mind is working to make a product out of what it's perceiving. And intellectual understanding comes, true intellectual understanding, comes when the intellect is satisfied with what it gets through intuition. So one can read and speculate on the Bible, for example, and other sacred scriptures, but that does not give him the wisdom necessary to interpret them correctly. That silent voice within needs to be in charge. And in my opinion, we need to read inspirational books and scriptures, because their inner drive is divine. Some of them, for the scripture, is divine. But the inspirational books, for example, some good ones, they have their inner drive. They can lead us upward, and then we can trigger our intuition more easily. Very important. And when you pick up a book, before you buy it, just ask yourself this simple question. Ask yourself if that book will push your energy up or down. But read and understand what you're reading through intuition, and then try to explain intellectually. The intellect is the servant of wisdom, which comes through intuition, which is direct perception of knowledge. And as I said, I want to repeat it again, wisdom is the ability to see things clearly as they are, without the filters of the intellect. And whenever I see through a clear window, for example, I like to think of the aspect of wisdom. See people and think transparent as they would really be. No secret danger can be hidden into you when you make the effort to see things clearly. At the first moment you see a person, somebody that you have not seen before, you have no filter. Filters are not present. And this is how you can apply wisdom into your daily life. Because in that moment, you still have not created an idea of what the person might be like. Wisdom is particularly active in that moment. You can take advantage in that situation to catch the tiny moment of pure wisdom operating in your life. I have always been amazed of the fact that I can walk every day out of my house and see people I've never seen before. Every day we have a large number of chances to take advantage of those moments to free ourselves from the filter of the intellect and catch up the intuitive wisdom that is transmitted when you see a person for the first time. Okay? So next time you see a person, just use that moment. And you see, these aspects, as I said, are all interactive, and they merge into each other to trigger creation. But they're also what we are trying to reunite ourselves into. We are trying many different ways to get in touch either with love, with the aspect of love, with the aspect of light, with the aspect of power, with the aspect of peace. And all of them, obviously. And behind all that we do in our life, there is our inner aspiration to merge with one or more of these aspects. And knowing this, analyzing our life, we can come to know what our true temperament is about. And let me tell you this, your true temperament is your attempt to expand your consciousness through the aspect or aspects of God you're naturally drawn to. And I can give you an example of this. For example, when I was studying acting, I wanted to merge with the light in order to be loved. Okay? Analyze what you're doing. With which aspect are you trying to merge with? And, for example, a businessman might want to merge with the aspect of power so that he can have the light. Or maybe, after the light, he can be loved because he will be seen. Let me give you the phone numbers again. 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756 or the direct line 530-876-3222. And you have to dial the international code, which is 001. And you can also just enjoy the classes over here because they are, I think, quite important to absorb this concept. And let me remind you that you can go to my website, which is www.joycelestia.com, and I put some astrological reports over there, which is quite accessible in the price, and they are amazing, and they are very fun to read and quite deep, done by professionals. And you can access free materials, sign up for my newsletter. You can open your free account, and the free materials section will expand. I will put articles. I will put guided meditations every month. I'm not saying that I'm going to start right now because I'm getting quite busy, but soon it will expand consistently. And it's all programmed, and sign up for free and enjoy it. Now, I would like to teach you the first meditation technique of the path of Kriya Yoga, and it's the Hong So technique. And this is as explained by Paramahansa Yogananda. So let's start, first of all, with the posture. Sit comfortably with your spine straight and your muscle relaxed. And these two things are the main points to keep in mind for your meditative posture. It has to be a comfortable posture with your spine straight, your muscles relaxed. And if you want to put more details, then you should try to open your chest gently, bringing your shoulder blades together and resting with your hands on your thighs, with your palms turned upward, and your chin should be parallel to the floor. You can either sit in a cross leg or just sit with your foot, with your feet grounded, with the sole of the feet quite strongly grounded on the floor. Okay? Then let's proceed right away with the meditation technique. And there are three stages. So close your eyes, first of all, and just release all tension. So close your eyes and breathe in. And tense all your muscles, and then breathe out, and relax. And focus especially on the moment of relaxation. So breathe in again, tense all the muscles of your body, and then relax, and letting go of all tensions. Breathe in, tense the muscles of your body, all of them, and vibrate, and exhale, and relaxing. And keeping your eyes closed, now bring gently your attention up on the forehead or the point between the eyebrows. Not making any effort. If it is, bringing some effort, then imagine to see up, to look up at a distance, like on the top of a mountain, okay? And when you're sure about having this kind of direction of the in-rise, a direction in consciousness, then start from there observing your breath as it comes in and out as it wants to without trying to control it. Don't interfere with the breath. Maybe the inhalation is longer than the exhalation or vice versa, or maybe there are long pauses between the breaths. That's fine. Just let the breath breathe you and observe the breath from that point, at the point between the eyebrows, on the forehead, looking up. So once you're sure about the direction of the eyes, of the gaze, let's say, then start observing your breath as it comes in and out as it wants to. And this is already the second stage. So relax and do this for some time. Then bring your attention again to the point between the eyebrows, looking at the distance up. Again, from there, observe the breath. At this time, add sounds to this practice. And as the breath comes in, think. Don't move anything. It's just a thought. Don't move your mouth. Don't move your tongue. Don't chant. It's just a thought. It's just a mental sound. As the breath comes in, think mentally, Hong. And as the breath goes out, think mentally, Saw. These two sounds mean I, he, and it can be translated into I offer myself into the Lord or into cosmic intelligence or into the creative source, whatever is your concept of God or the universe. Or you can also offer yourself to Christ or Buddha or your favorite prophet or self-realized man. Hong as the breath comes in and Saw as the breath goes out. And keep on doing this technique for some time. And before you reach to the point where you cannot stand it anymore, even though it has not any bad repercussion, there's not contraindication, but some people are just not used to meditate. And when you get to the point when you know, after this, I'm not going to like it anymore, then stop there and remain silent. And listen, just open your ears, open your heart, open your mind, and stay in a receptive state. And this second part of the technique, staying in a receptive state, is really important. It's really important. It's like you're cooking food with the technique, with the sound and observation of the breath, and in the receptive state, you reap the benefits of peace, joy, and love. And just keep your attention up at the point between the eyebrows or looking up, focusing your gaze up at a distance, and relax. And then you breathe in deeply and breathe out a couple of times to come back into your body. And re-listen to the instruction of this episode. And the description of this technique is given for free also on my website. So sign up and listen to the instruction and follow the instruction. And I will put soon a guided meditation with my voice for this technique so that you can just be guided through the technique until you learn it. You can do it anytime. The aim of the technique is to naturally lengthen, make longer the pauses between the breaths. Because in those moments, the cycles of life are interrupted, and our true self comes up. When there are no breaths, we can just go into the breathless states, where we experience joy. Another thing you could do to enhance this technique is what I called the switch. Okay? And you can use it to open and to close your meditation practice. It is like you're just turning on the switch, and you know that you will be drawn gradually into a meditative state, and then you switch off again to come back into the world. And the switch is simple. It's just a triple breath. And it is like this. After you breathe in, you breathe out three times with your mouth until you reach that point where your lungs are totally empty. And there is that point of nothingness. In that moment, that is the switch that will put you gradually into a meditative mood. Maybe not right away at the beginning, but after you do it, it will really act as a switch. And after you finish your meditation practice, before you come back into the world, you can practice the switch again. So breathe in and breathe out three times. The first short, the second longer. Until you get to that point. And here you can stay a little bit more in the receptive state and come back into your daily activities. Another thing that you could do to enhance the practice of the technique is to open the mouth of God, which is the point that we can find at the medulla oblongata, at the connection, at the junction between the neck and the skull. Imagine there's a mouth there, and imagine that this mouth is a golden ring, and open it. And then open your throat. This will allow vital energy to flow. And to enhance your meditation technique, you can also practice some breathing techniques. You can find them in many yoga books, pranayamas, or you can release the tension more, or you can meditate. And this is a good thing to observe if you can do it. Meditate at the same time every day, at the same place every day, and facing east. There are certain magnetic forces coming from the east. And it's not, I mean, I don't mean the eastern countries. There's just a magnetic polarity that is spiritual. Okay, next time, we're going to observe how we can use meditation practices for healing, and I'm going to give you some additional techniques to expand your consciousness. And these techniques are good to use every day and in every moment of your life. Let me remind you my website, www.joycelestial.com. I appreciate your emails. Thank you for writing. That really fills my heart, and I hope we can share even more in the next future. And remember, you can sign up for the free material. New things are coming, and enjoy. And see you next time with Awareness of the Soul with your host, Vincent Sandi. And may God bless you with this technique. Bye.